540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Things are heating up in Texas now, where millions of people could be broiling under triple-digit temps for days.
100-degree temperatures and extreme humidity as Texans again suffering through what could be another record-setting heat wave.
Last week it was hailing, and this week it's in the hundreds.
Don't even want to be outside.
The agency that oversees the Texas electric grid says it has enough resources, but it's issued a weather watch through June 21st. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Meantime, the Southeast is under storm watch. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
What we're expecting out of storms for the next several hours is the chance of a couple of tornadoes, but realistically, this is a big hail event, so the potential for hail that is baseball-sized, as well as some damaging winds.
Many folks are still recovering from yesterday's storms. Smoky skies are back over another part of the U.S. today from Canada's wildfires. Here's Odyssey News meteorologist Craig Allen.
We're seeing some of the worst smoky conditions in the upper Midwest, the upper plains, and over towards the Great Lakes.
All of this coming as the United Nations warns the world about climate change.
It's time to wake up and step up. It's time to rebuild trust based on climate justice. It's time to accelerate the just transition to a green economy.
Secretary General Antonio Guterres says we can start by phasing out fossil fuels. Here at home, President Biden wants to trash junk fees.
Junk fees are not a matter for the wealthy very much, but they're a matter for working folks like the homes I grew up in. And they can add hundreds of dollars a month and make it harder for families to pay their bills. I think it's just wrong.
He's pushing major companies like Ticketmaster to be more transparent about their prices. Two companies that sell top brands of weed killer just settled the lawsuit in New York.
Monsanto and its parent company, Bayer Crop Science, will pay nearly $7 million for allegedly making false and misleading statements about the safety of its products under the Roundup brand name. They maintained Roundup products are safe and non-toxic, even though they contain a chemical that can be toxic to honeybees, butterflies, and some aquatic animals, according to the legal settlement.
That's CBS's Jim Crisula reporting.
And in my heart, you
Well, we thought Rod Stewart would make rock music forever, but after six decades in music, he says he's switching to swing. The 78-year-old singer plans to pivot for his upcoming summer tour. His new swing album will be out next year. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. The small plane that crashed yesterday in Watertown had just taken off and was about 4 miles from the municipal airport when it went down. It's believed two people died in the crash, and the NTSB said it was a four-seat propeller plane involved. The state Senate representative from Racine says any realistic person should have voted for the shared revenue plan. Van Wongard's statement says the bill going to the governor is a bipartisan victory that benefits everyone in the state. There were votes against the bill from both Democrats and Republicans. Plumbing problems have the Fox Point pool closed this summer, and other watering holes are in a different danger. Melissa Kay has the story.
Kenosha is facing the possibility of not opening two of its city-operated swimming pools for the summer due to a shortage of lifeguards. The city is currently accepting applications for part-time lifeguards.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Dominic, I'm calling this one the Thursday, Friday Eve, post-birthday hangover edition. How's your head, fella?
Hey, man, I'm a pro, Crudy. 52 years of doing this. I've worked out the kinks. And by the way, it's our birthday month, so talk to me in July. Thank you, Crudy. Good to see you. Evan, working so hard on the board. Thank you, sir, and our fair audience. Great to be with you on this Friday Eve.
You know, before we jump in the headlines, I'd like to get a pin, so you're going to have to speak for just a moment longer. But I would point out, you're coming to Madison tomorrow, aren't we? Aren't we also celebrating together?
When we're together, it's our time. Of course, man, it's going to be a good time in the studio tomorrow. I can't wait. And we got a big show, folks. You can join us as well, 844-967-2789. Going to get to some of the local politics and the 5 o'clock. Man, I can't wait to get to the national politics. I'm just going to tease it because what's everyone saying? All, everybody on the right, what's the question for all? Do you pardon Trump? I got some thoughts on that, and we'll share them with you in the 5 o'clock hour. Make sure you stick around.
The debate will be on. The merits. I'm not sure if there are merits to argue, but I'm sure CJ will chime in. Dominic, I'd like to start in our backyard. I'd like to start in the place that inspired us, yes, sort of negatively inspired us to come together on the radio each and every week. It was Wanker. It was the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker. And it was his bad governance that catapulted us to worldwide famous radio host.
Thank you, Scott Walker.
We owe some impetus, some genesis, to use his biblical thoughts, of our creation to Scott Walker's bad governance now. And here we are, 2011. You and I started doing this, and I remember. And for new friends, I got to tell you, I was not a Scott Walker guy. Now, my little buddy over there voted for him in the recall, but that was a whole different theoretical argument. What was the whole argument, Dom? Why did you vote for the man?
Scott Walker. I voted for Barrett, Mayor Tom Barrett, initially. Then when the recall came around, I voted for Scott Walker.
You flip-flopped your logic.
And I had to push back against, you know, obviously he had some divisive policies and politics, but he wasn't breaking any laws. So my thought was, well, why, you know, you lost election, they want, as far as we knew, right? But we found out much more later. But anyway, that was the logic I justified.
Well, I, Dominic, was running a sort of a boutique real estate brokerage at the time. And you'll recall, I printed off my Scott Walker recall ballot like 12:05. I was mad I couldn't print it at 12:01 a.m., not p.m. It wasn't noon. It was midnight. And I'm trying to print my ballot. I was never good with the tech. Still not great. So I'm printing the Scott Walker recall petition at home, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get this thing filled up. All my teammates, all my staff, when I get to work tomorrow, they're all going to want to sign. Because I just assume all these people that worked with me and for me, well, they were like me, right? Ideologically.
Right. Yeah, right.
Or not. Or not. Nobody signed except for me and my pal Kathleen, but she had already signed before she left her hometown that morning. So like two of us out of like 10 staffers, and I was shocked. Few were just not political. Few just didn't want to get involved, kept their heads down.
Yeah.
Some were on the other team. Some were over there with you in the wanker column. But I got to say, Dom, wankerism must end. This evil upon the state of Wisconsin must end. Now, Tony Evers is already into his second term. Here the other day at the DPW, he threatened, some people call me two-term Tony, but I like when you call me, Big Papa. I like when you call me three-term Tony.
A little tease, Tony.
Little tease, Tony. Yeah, yeah. So Tony got a little giggle out of it. But Scott Walker, he has been influencing the politics, influencing the outcomes, because a lot of the governance that still happens here in the state of Wisconsin was preceded with his bad governance, with his only preach to the base, only govern for the base, and stick it to everyone that's not part of your base.
Well, let's use Scott Walker's own words, divide and conquer.
Well, there's an opinion piece. Our friend John Nichols over at the Cap Times, the beginning of the end of Scott Wankerism. Oh, Walkerism, my bad. Scott Walker assumed the governorship of Wisconsin 12 years ago and declared the war. Declared war on the state's towns, villages, cities, and counties instead of encouraging working relationships between the state government and Wisconsin's many municipalities. Walker created chaos in hopes that it would cause local governments to turn against their own employees. As part of Walker's sweeping assault on public sector unions, he reworked labor laws to undermine the ability of municipal employees to engage in collective bargaining for fair wages, benefits, and workplace safety. Then he proposed a budget that would cut funding for local governments. That created a chaotic circumstance where municipal officials were forced to utilize Walker's tools. Wanker was the tool. His tools to cut costs. Act 10. Municipal budgets are carefully balanced, and Walker put the people who manage them in a bind. PolitiFact noted several years ago that Walker reduced shared revenue, the general state aid to local governments not tied to specific purpose, by $76 million, or 9%. That move, PolitiFact said, made in Walker's first state budget, was the largest such cut in at least a decade. Walker also put strict limits on how much local governments could raise property taxes. And Dom, over the ensuing years, shared revenues remained flat or increased at a far slower rate than what was needed. In effect, Walker and his allies starved local government of their vital resources. He was especially tough on the state's largest city, Milwaukee, right? He used to be the county executive. And he made a living on sticking it to Milwaukee. Midway through the Republican governor's tenure, State Senator Tim Carpenter, a Dem from Milwaukee, recalled, in 2012, Governor Walker cut shared revenue to the city of Milwaukee by 4.3%, or $12.4 million. Through 2016, such cuts have not been restored. Well, that's the Walker way, right? Stick it to you and make you raise your own taxes, and then, you're dumb.
Yeah, now they don't want you to raise your own taxes. Nichols continues, Crudy, over time, Walker's approach did more and more damage in more and more places. Essential services were cut. Able employees quit. Recruiting of new workers became difficult. It was a mess that kept getting worse. Even after Walker was swept from office in 2018, his Republican allies retained control of the state legislature and prevented Democrat Governor Tony Evers from undoing much of the damage. But after after Evers won a second term in 22 by a comfortable margin, things began to loosen up. Last week, after considerable wrangling, Evers and Republican legislative leaders agreed to a plan that will move more money to municipalities and that will allow the Milwaukee Common Council and Milwaukee County Board to raise sales taxes to address underfunded pensions. While Assembly Speaker Robin Voss dubs the arrangement, quote, a transformational shared revenue deal, unquote, it's not quite that. The shared revenue funds are insufficient to close many of the gaps that opened during the Walker years, and the money comes with strings attached. Pardon. Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard and Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer observed on Thursday, quote, our local communities that have been starved of shared revenue funding for years, impacting their ability to provide essential local services to their residents. We appreciate that our Republican colleagues have finally recognized the importance of this issue after their years of inaction. Instead of declaring victory, they said, quote, every community in Wisconsin is impacted differently by this proposal. For some, this is progress. For others, it doesn't cut the mustard. What we know for sure is that our work is not complete. We must continue to pursue legislation that empowers local governments and creates communities where people want to grow, live, and work. As Nichols concludes, that's the right perspective. This is not the finish of many nightmares that our former governor imposed on the state of Wisconsin, but this does look like the beginning of the end of Scott Walkerism, and by any measure, that is good news. John Nichols, associate editor at the Cap Times.
Winkerism must go. You know what only really lives on in the governance of Robin Voss at this late hour? Robin Voss has kept it alive and well here in the state of Wisconsin. And the only reason why Scott Walker was quote-unquote an effective leader, why he got to jam through his legislative agenda, well, a little red wave in 2010 swept him and a Republican majority into the legislative chambers. And then they baked the map. They rigged the maps for a decade plus. And, of course, we've potentially got new maps coming. We don't know yet, but I suspect with the impanelment of Janet Protasiewicz and replacement of my down-the-bar companion the other night, Patience Rogensack. I call her Pat. She asked me to call her Pat, I think, Dom. But Justice Patience Rogensack, soon to retire, we've got Protasiewicz to join the court. The recooked maps in 2022, 10 years after Walker baked them in, well, a 4-3 conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, led by, you guessed it, Patience Rogensack, stuck another 10 years of bad maps before the Wisconsin voters. So they're completely impervious to the will of their constituents. But that could change. But it all starts with the end of Walker and Winker.
While I'd like to think that Crudy, Walker is president of the Young Americas Foundation, numbers of young Americans understand and are inspired by the ideas of individual freedom, a strong national defense, free enterprise, and traditional values. As their website goes on to say, as the principal outreach organization of the conservative movement, the foundation introduces thousands of American youth to these principles. We accomplish our mission by providing essential conferences, seminars, educational materials, internships, and speakers to young people across the country. Walkerism, well, maybe challenged here in Wisconsin. He's out there. He is the leader of the Young Americas Foundation, the principal outreach organization of the conservative movement.
The principal indoctrination organization of young wannabe Republicans. Come back, more devils.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
On Wednesday the 14th, check out the First Milwaukee Night Market. It's a free outdoor event showcasing local vendors, performers, and artists. Learn more by visiting mkenightmarket.com. Jazz in the Park is back this Thursday the 15th. It's the largest weekly free music venue in Milwaukee. The Altered Five Blues Band will play from 6 till 9 p.m. in downtown's Cathedral Square. On Friday the 16th, check out Bands at the Beach from 7:30 till 10 p.m. in Oconomowoc. Head down to the Band Shell at City Beach for a free concert on the lake. And the Summer Solstice Music Festival returns this Saturday. Don't miss out on a free showcase of music along with food, arts, crafts, and activities. Go to summersolsticemke.com for more details.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kiner, at info@civicmedia.us.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 49 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 73. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 52. Dry and turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup at 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I was just talking about the recasting of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That happens August 1st. That's like 45 days from now. Bye, Felicia. I mean, Pat. Alex Groth over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has got a little piece here, and I'm not going to read all of it, but there are a few highlights I'd like to share with you, the audience, and also you, my little buddy, in case you didn't catch this one. Three ways the Wisconsin Supreme Court could shape your life. What? I was very curious about these three ways. Of course, we're talking about the newly shaped court. So, as is written here, Wisconsinites elected Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz over former appointed by Wanker Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly last spring to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in a race that set spending records, nearly doubling the national record. And with a 4-3 liberal majority, the Wisconsin Supreme Court could start taking up cases this fall. According to the expert they have, Sarah Benish is who they talk to. But anyways, let's get to what are the important cases that could affect your life that our newly constructed Wisconsin Supreme Court could take a crack at, Dom? Well, of course, the question of whether or not abortion should be legal in Wisconsin. A little more reading here, and then I'd seek your comment. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned its ruling legalizing abortion, and Wisconsin reverted back to the 19th century, a law that bans abortions in most cases. In response, Governor Tony Evers and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call filed a lawsuit against Republican legislative leaders, arguing the ban was unenforceable. Arguments have already started in the lawsuit trying to invalidate the 1849 law, and Dane County Circuit Judge Diane Shipler said last month that she'd issue a ruling on the motion to dismiss the case submitted by three district attorneys Call previously sued. The arguments come as a majority of Wisconsinites oppose the decision of the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade, according to the Marquette Law School, and it's likely the court could hear a challenge to the 1849 law this term, just because a number of people it affects in the state, like all women and all of us that care about women, which is pretty much everyone except apparently Republicans, Tom. What do you think?
Rudy. A little bit more here as well. The Wisconsin Supreme Court could challenge political maps that were drawn in favor of Republicans. Every decade, states are required to draw new maps after the U.S. Census releases data. Depending how those lines are drawn, they can give one political party a large advantage. In April 22, the 4-3 majority of the state Supreme Court picked Republican lawmaker maps, which supported their control of the legislature. Of course they did. Redistricting matters to voters because the maps decide how much your vote essentially counts. When you're gerrymandered into a district that you have no hope of actually influencing the outcome in, your vote no longer matters as much as it would in a system where voters are distributed more evenly. During the campaign, proto say what's called the state election maps rigged, especially against votes from people in Dane and Milwaukee counties. The state Supreme Court could hear a challenge to maps before the next presidential election because lawmakers want to avoid making any rule changes too close to election day.
Now, Dominic, that is a very simplified version of what happened here in the state of Wisconsin. If you'll recall, we had a People's Commission, right? Tony Evers basically put forth the People's Commission maps. The Republican legislature had already put forth legislation, basically a directive that we had to use the least change maps. Basically, they wanted to cook as much of their 10-year advantage into the cake as they could legally possibly do. And then they got to draw maps. And then the state Supreme Court, if I recall, Dom, with Brian Hagedorn, ruling 4-3, that it was actually Evers' maps that provided the least change, and they should be adopted as the maps for the state of Wisconsin. Except Republicans went running to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that ruling was flipped back, sent back to the state courts to what? Find a different ruling. And Brian Hagedorn then became the 4-3 going the other direction, saying we're going to utilize the Republican legislature drawn maps. Well, of course, last week, the Alabama lawsuit that came out of the U.S. Supreme Court encouraged guys like me who like to read the tea leaves and think we have some sort of insights into such things. Because in probability, the U.S. Supreme Court's not going to go grab another gerrymandering case from a state court like, let's say, the Wisconsin Supreme Court if they rule in favor of the litigants. And in this case, the next lawsuit probably coming down the pike is from Law Forward, our understanding, and would argue that these maps, you know, basically what, disenfranchise Wisconsin voters and must be redrawn. And if that happens, it's game on. It is a, we could get democracy back in the state of Wisconsin. What a quaint notion.
Oh, I mean, it's so cute to think that way.
Let's take a caller or two, 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're first today. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Mark.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay, guys, and thanks for taking my call. And it's interesting that the Republicans who took an oath to support the Constitution of Wisconsin, as well as that of the United States, in drawing these maps actually violated that Constitution, which requires the maps be compact and contiguous as far as the voting districts are. I mean, they especially, you know, divided up, you know, communities and to crack and compact, you know, so they could draw the most benefit out of, you know, where they have, you know, like 45% of the state votes Republican, 55% or more actually vote for Democratic candidates. But the way they have it set up, it's permanently baked into the cake that it'd be minority rule. And it's, and getting back to Scott Wanker, it's interesting the guy talks about individual liberty, but then he goes back to traditional values. Well, how many rights did women have under the old traditional values thing? So,
well, cutting you short, Mark, I want to make a...
The same amount of rights I got right now under the what, 1800s abortion law. Not very many. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Scott Walker's all down for that. Mark, I'll try to clarify my comments when I get a little more time for you. Like after this short break, we are the Devil's Advocates. More phone calls coming at 844-967-2789. And the last way the Supreme Court could affect your life.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The South is getting slammed with more storms today, a day after more than a dozen tornadoes touched down, causing significant damage in four states. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The big threat here is damaging wind gusts. And what we mean by that is winds gusting to 80 or 90 miles an hour. This line of storms stretching from Kansas through Oklahoma into North Texas.
The United Nations is urging people around the world to wake up and take action against climate change. Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
I am very worried where the world stands on climate.
And President Biden's praising companies from Live Nation to Airbnb that have promised to show customers any hidden fees up front.
This is a win for consumers, in my view, and proof that our crackdown on junk fees has real momentum. But there's more to do.
Americans pay at least $29 billion in junk fees every year. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. An air quality advisory for our area and a good chunk of the state runs through midnight. Smoke from Canadian wildfires continue to impact the region. There's also a water danger locally. Brittany Merlot has more.
A beach hazard statement has been issued until Friday morning as waves are climbing up to 5 feet high with dangerous currents along Lake Michigan in Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha counties.
Some drivers in Waukesha County are being watched closely today with targeted traffic enforcement efforts. The Sheriff's Department and the State Patrol say their deployment areas are determined through the analysis of crash data from WSDOT's Community Maps program. Yesterday's plane crash in Watertown happened shortly after takeoff, about 4 miles from the municipal airport. It involved a four-seat propeller plane, and it's believed that two people died in the accident. That's according to the NTSB. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old. And here it is 50 years later, I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's Thursday all day long, but that makes it Friday Eve, working towards another weekend in our shared birthday week, birthday month. June is my favorite month. I mean, I think our respective moms planned it perfectly, dude. June well is done, like Mom. The only month without like any other interfering holidays. You know, Father's Day, sure, but no one really gives a damn. I'm a father. I get squat. How about you, man? When's the last time you got something for Father's Day?
I just love the love, man. I don't need anything.
You know what I normally get for Father's Day? Like a brunch liquor? Out with the in-laws.
Captain Morgan.
And the bill at the end of the meal. Father's Day. Yes. Looking forward to mowing the lawn this year.
You get the little tiny roadie Captain Morgan ones you get at the liquor store. You get those from your kids for your birthday or for Father's Day?
The boys aren't old enough to buy booze yet. They just steal my booze and give it back to me, I think. happy Father's Day, Pops. But otherwise, it's great to have a June birthday because, you know, you get to steal the whole month. Scott Ross also shares a birthday with you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Scott.
He's in Europe. He ain't listening. Anyways, Mark made a statement. Talked about the Republicans that would unethically, but probably not criminally, gerrymander the maps. Now, I don't agree with what they're trying to accomplish. Of course, they're trying to cook the books effectively, but not in a fraudulent sort of way, not in a
political sort gerrymander. Of way. It's not a racial gerrymander. Person.
Well, that's arguable. That will be argued at the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I have no doubt, because part of their sticking it to the Dems is sticking it to racial minorities. Because you might have noticed them, a lot of racial minorities vote Democrats. Something less appealing about Trump's party to them. Weird, but anyways, the unconstitutional part, and here's the third part of how the Wisconsin Supreme Court could affect your life. Voting rules for the upcoming presidential election could be decided by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And there were a couple efforts afoot, Mark, and you know this. You're a smart guy, and you listen to the greatest radio show ever, so I know we've informed you of this. There were a couple of efforts afoot here in the state of Wisconsin. One was an effort of Republican legislatures, 14 legislators, assembly legislators, and one state senator, Andre Jacques. And amongst the assembly legislators, all Republicans, was Dan Knodel, who now has been elected through special to the Senate and heads up the Senate's Elections Committee. I just point that out, just put a pin there. But this effort was a letter to the vice president telling him to effectively ignore the Constitution and instead throw it back to them. You know, let them make a determination. Give them 10 days to figure it out. And as a baked-in-the-cake, overwhelmingly gerrymandered Republican-controlled legislature, give them a crack at making a decision on behalf of all the voters for the state of Wisconsin. And that, of course, was the efforts they tried through the state courts.
And but hang on, their justification in writing this letter was this lie, was this falsehood put forward by Donald Trump and his conspirators who worked with multiple state legislators to write similar letters about the same thing. It was an embrace of the big lie.
And in fact, the embrace of the big lie, the letter written by the legislators on January 5th, of 2021, the day before January 6th, if perhaps you recall that day. Well, that was after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had ruled on December 14th. And why that date is conspicuous, not just because Dom and I got tickets for entering a locked Capitol building that same week and wanted to subpoena all the false Trump electors who entered the very same Capitol building that week and were not cited for some reason, Dom.
Weird how that works.
But the bigger problem, other than our legal defense, because those cases were dismissed, our bigger issue was the fact that post-determination, final court in the state of Wisconsin had ruled there was no other outcome to overturn the election, to throw out 200,000 votes in Dana, Milwaukee County. None of that was going to be taken up by one vote, by the vote of Brian Hagedorn. Again, Patience Rogensack, she was more than willing to do so. Ziegler, the other Bradley, the bad Bradley, they were all down for it. It was only the vote of Hagedorn that preserved the Republic in some way, shape, or form here in the state of Wisconsin. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But anyways, Hagedorn voted correctly, and the false electors still chose post-ruling to go to the locked Wisconsin state capitol. Entry provided apparently by staffers of now Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, and they went and they committed a crime, Dom. I allege that they committed criminal fraud by alleging that they were true and sworn Trump electors and that they had every valid right to be there. And of course, that's not the way the people of Wisconsin voted. And the courts had already ruled they weren't going to throw out any votes. This was the final determination. Joe Biden won the state by about 21,000 votes, and they did it anyways. They created the fraud anyways. And if you listen to Bob Spindell, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, who was also a criminally fraudulent Trump elector, said, well, we only did so at the directive of Trump counsel, of Trump's lawyers. They told us to, so it all must be good, right?
Yeah, they told us to do it, and so we did it.
Here's one other thought, Don. I did buttonhole the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin a year ago at this time at the DPW, and I asked him, you're gonna indict these guys. You're going to at least investigate. You're going after these guys, the false Trump electors. And at that time, Josh called deferred. I didn't like his answer. So I saw him again this time, and I didn't even ask the question. But I did get a better clarity on the issue from Dane County District Attorney Ishmael Ozan. And Ish clarified, this is not really the Attorney General's call. Under Wisconsin law, according to Ish, if you have elections, campaign law violations, you have to be charged where you live. And apparently this is because it's mostly Republicans. They figure they'll get a friendly court in Waukesha County or whatever the case may be. No one's ever going to charge them. You know, see the prior activities in Waukesha County, see Scott Jensen, see a few others. But
you mean Judge Schimmel?
Yeah, I was going to mention Schimmel as well. I couldn't remember what he did, but he's on the court. So anyways, here's the point. There are some things that will be ruled on by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There are some things that we have publicly stated we wish Josh Call would do to prosecute those that committed a crime in the last elective cycle, or at least the 2020 elective cycle here in the state of Wisconsin. Ish Ozan says, actually, it's up to the individual district attorneys in the counties of residence where the criminals, Crudy's term, criminals lived, where these actual fraudulent Trump electors live. I said, well, Scott Grabens lives in Dane County, the former Dane County Republican Party chair. Ish says, I know. I said, what are you going to do about it? He said, we're at a convention, not much. So, you know, just talking, two guys talking. Certainly the district attorney wouldn't tell me if he had any intention of charging Scott Grabens. But Scott, you and your friends, the false Trump electors, the criminal false Trump electors, I would allege, get yourself some good criminal frickin' defense attorneys. Because if it doesn't come from the county level, I suspect you might have a date with Jack Smith someday soon.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised, some reporting from June 13th, a couple of Nevada GOP chair Michael McDonald, a close Trump political ally, as well as Jim DeGraffenried, the state party's vice chair, were spotted by NBC News entering the area where the January 6th jury is meeting at the Washington Federal Courthouse on Tuesday.
The final thoughts, just to close the loop on the Wisconsin Supreme Court in this article from the Journal Sentinel. The state Supreme Court could consider voting rules ahead of the upcoming 2024 presidential. The court could consider Racine's mobile van that travels throughout the city to meet voters in their neighborhood and collect early ballots. Another issue that could be considered involves a lower court ruling in September of 22 that election clerks aren't allowed to fill in missing information on absentee ballots, right? If you forget the zip code, you got to call the person or send it back to them and have them come in and fill in the zip code. The clerk can't fill in the missing zip code. That's the current ruling of the lower courts. And the state Supreme Court could also consider voter ID laws to change how voters can access the ballot through voter ID restrictions. Because let's not forget, the federal courts said voter ID was okay, but they used Indiana as the example. And when Indiana made voter ID the law of their land, they expanded access to voter IDs. They made it easier for their citizens to get voter IDs. Here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, lots of DMVs open lots of days. Go and get your voter ID. We'll make it easy for you.
We did the opposite. We made it far more difficult for people to vote. We've made it more difficult for them to obtain the voter IDs. We invalidated what? Student IDs aren't good enough? Because, you know, the young kids, they're voting too much Democrat. So we don't like those. But what, they think it was okay to use, what, a gun permit, right? As a voting ID. Couldn't you use a concealed carry, or do I misstate? I don't want to overstate that. But it's ridiculous. Some of the premises that expanded opportunities, let's say, for, you know, conservatives. It made it just a little bit harder for, let's say, minorities and those that might vote Democrat to vote. Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court may get another crack at all those issues. You can take a crack at us, 844-967-2789. Appreciate your patience. Bill from Madison, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, coming back around to the shared revenue stuff.
Sure, let's do it.
It blows my mind that everyone's so for this. I just see it. It's another way that the Republicans are trying to screw over the little guy, and it's a complete giveaway to the haves and businesses and corporations.
But the lack of this, and Bill, I'm going to quote my friend, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn. I listened to her fine show last night, and you should listen. But she has a very direct input into these sort of matters, and she is greatly affected by this, as is the entire governance of Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee. And although this may suck on so many levels, the lack of a bill, the lack of this shared revenue creates such dire straits for the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee, man. It's frying pan or fire.
Yeah, so what it's doing is the average citizens and the low income, they're gonna take the burden of this, paying the sales tax. The big businesses and, you know, people that can afford to leave the county are just gonna go to another county over and buy their stuff there. I just hate it. It's terrible. It's like when they did, you know, we'll allow the cities and counties to do their own wheel tax, and that'll solve the issue for road funding. It's like, well, you know, that's just the state pushing it off onto, you know, people that can't, you know, that are already struggling, or, you know, what else did they do? It was, instead of raising the gas tax a little bit, they raised the registration fees, which, big businesses are all going to register their vehicles out of state, and they're not going to pay the fee anyways.
Bill, I appreciate your input, sir, and certainly I'm not going to make any arguments that Republicans don't govern for big business. And I look at the agricultural and manufacturers tax break here in the state of Wisconsin, a 0.4% tax rate for very wealthy people.
0.4%. That's like 0.6% less than 1%.
And the full tax rate for the highest earning Wisconsinites is like 7.625%. So that is substantially lower, but only if you're a manufacturing interest or a agribusiness interest, which is a very small percentage of very wealthy Wisconsinites. Come back with us. I wish I was one of them. We're going to manufacture some more devil's advocates on the other side.
Grow something, man.
844-967-2789.
Are you looking for a creative haven in the heart of Milwaukee? Look no further than 20 Ton Studios. At 20 Ton Studios, we're all about fostering artistic expression and community engagement. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a budding artist yourself, join us at 2000 West North Avenue at the intersection of 20th and North Avenue. Discover the power of art and embrace your creative spirit at 20 Ton Studios. Visit us at 20tonstudios.com and don't forget to join us on Saturdays for our open studio extravaganza. 20 Ton Studios, where art comes to life.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace. or Google My Business, or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 49. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 73. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 52. Dry and warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
This summer,
540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude
on 540 AM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
A little chili peppers makes me want to get in the mosh pit, okay. Baby.
Yeah, man.
Dominic, I wish Boss Voss would join me there. A little editorial I see over at the Cap Times. I want to share this with you and the audience. Voss attack on UW diversity efforts echoes Ron DeSantis.
Oh, great. There's someone you want to emulate, Voss.
Both have fascist qualities, right? Here's a little of what is written. Republican political strategists have a new target. They're going after diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives that are making colleges and universities across the country more welcoming to faculty, staff, and students from all backgrounds. Yeah, but what about rich white people's kids? This cynical political project is being fomented by right-wing think tanks such as the Manhattan Institute in New York and the Goldwater Institute in Arizona, and it has gone national. Unfortunately, when Republicans come up with new ideas for sowing seeds of racial division at the national level, they take root in Wisconsin. So it is that the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, has, after weeks of pressuring the University of Wisconsin system to upend diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, signaled that the legislature will use the biennial budget process to try and force the system to defund the programs. Defund inclusion. You know, that means he's against inclusion.
Defund equity, defund diversity. They got a problem with that. If you include all this inclusion, crudity, of course, this is Republican logic. The inclusion is by itself divisive.
A little bit more here, and then you can take over, fella. The speaker announced on Tuesday that he wants the Republican-controlled Legislative Joint Finance Committee to cut $32 million from the UW system, roughly the amount, according to estimates, that goes to diversity, equity, and inclusion projects on campuses statewide. With an Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass logic, Voss dismisses programs that promote cooperation and respect as clearly divisive, that's his quote, and says, "I hope we have the ability to eliminate that spending. The university should have already chosen to redirect it to something that is more productive and more broadly supported." Voss is wrong on both counts, Dom.
Crudy, DEI programs are productive. They play a critical role in attracting and retaining top faculty and students to UW campuses, and they connect those campuses to the communities they serve. As Wisconsin State Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard explained on Tuesday, quote, "Republican action to cut funding from UW for their DEI initiatives are small-minded, wrong-headed, counterproductive to our state's efforts to recruit and retain our future workforce," unquote. DEI programs are also popular. When members of the UW Campus Climate Survey Task Force met in 2021 to review data collected from more than 13,400 student surveys, they found that, quote, nearly 4 out of 5 students indicated that valuing diversity is very or extremely important to one's future success, and that 3 out of 4 students said it is very or extremely important to them that UW-Madison has a strong commitment to diversity. So Voss is not responding to the will of UW students, nor is there any evidence that he is responding to UW faculty members or administrators. Where is the speaker getting his marching orders from? From outside Wisconsin. According to the AP's investigative report, a network of billionaire-funded conservative quote-unquote think tanks in Texas, Virginia, New York, and Arizona have outlined talking points and formulated different pieces of model legislation as part of a scheme to make DEI programs a target of the culture war agenda. In recent months, they have drawn legislators across the county, country to the project. According to the Wire Service, Republican lawmakers in at least a dozen states have proposed more than 30 bills this year targeting diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in higher education, an AP analysis found using the bill tracking software Plural. The measures have become the latest flashpoint in a cultural battle involving race, ethnicity, and gender that has been amplified by prominent Republicans, including former President Donald Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, potential rivals for the GOP presidential nomination in 2024. That's the ugly reality of what's happening here. When you see elected leaders demonizing educators and weaponizing education, it's a 5-alarm fire for democracy. It's important to understand that when governors like DeSantis attack DEI efforts, they completely mischaracterize them to create a straw man demon that they now have to do away with. Cedarin Mulvey, the president of the American Association of University Professors, recently told science journal Nature. Mulvey writes that they're dog whistling that DEI initiatives are something sinister and subversive that people should be afraid of, and that's not true at all. Voss is attacking the UW system because of a genuine Voss is not attacking the UW system because of a genuine outcry against diversity, equity, and inclusion. Like DeSantis, he is dog whistling for political purposes. Wisconsin's Assembly Speaker is promoting a manufactured agenda, which is designed to make Americans think they are somehow threatened by programs that seek to welcome and encourage students of all backgrounds and that are vital to the success of many of those students.
That's all bad stuff. That's bad.
Bad stuff.
Welcoming,
yes, yes.
That's bad.
Bad, bad. Well, it depends on who you're welcoming, I guess. It's a cynical gambit that has everything to do with the 2024 presidential politics and absolutely nothing to do with education. Politically, the strategy will fail. Wisconsinites will reject dog whistle politics in 2024, just as they did in April when they chose Judge Janet Protasiewicz over right-wing zealot Dan 2-time loser Kelly. I threw that one in there. Who trumpeted DeSantis-style anti-woke talking points in the high-profile contest for a place on the state Supreme Court. So Voss is wasting his time and that of the legislature. The problem is that if Robin Voss succeeds in defunding programs that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, the speaker's politically motivated scheming will do serious harm to UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, and campuses across the state. Cap Times editorial, lighten up, Robin Voss.
I hear you do a Scotty Winker harm. 844-967-2789. Jack from Mary Mac, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Oh, boy. Where do I start? Well, let's go in. Voss, this legislature is something else. They're so jaded by 13 years of gerrymandered success that they think they can do absolutely anything. And arguably, the state Supreme Court violated the state constitution when they reinstituted the current gerrymandered maps, because legally those maps were vetoed by the governor, and they reversed his veto essentially. And yes, they did have other choices. They could have done something else with that.
Well, Hagedorn only the U.S. Supreme Court, though, Jack, basically told Hagedorn, go find a different ruling. There weren't a lot of options. I'm not necessarily agreeing with him so much as it's hard to fault him for finding hamburger A. Okay, here's hamburger B. Well, they like that. Come back. More Devils. I did not like that because it cooked the old cake again to the Republicans' advantage. More Bosh Pitten. Hour 2, the happier happy hours next. We'll be right back.
summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
If you're searching for a unique and environmentally conscious shopping experience in Milwaukee, your search ends at Clover, a haven for plant and art lovers in the area. Clover's plants are handpicked from Wisconsin-based wholesalers. In fact, Clover was recently recognized as one of the top 10 best plant shops in the Midwest by Midwest Living Magazine. And the gallery features the talent of 23 local women artists. Clover, women-owned and operated and making a positive impact in the community. 2252 South Kinnickinnick Avenue in Milwaukee or online at clovermke.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.